I'll tell you about my yacht. And then Andrew's going to come back, give you a little more information on the commodities. And then I'm going to give you some more content, and we're done. Okay, so real quick, story of my boat. Before I can tell you the full story of my boat, you have to understand one thing. I was addicted to Quaaludes, my drug of choice, right? So it was really Quaaludes that fueled this incident where I took my 170-foot yacht, which had a plane on it and a helicopter. I took it out into a storm to see if it would float in a storm, okay? But there's a reason why I took the boat out into the storm. Let me explain to you. Very important. Can you please write this in your notes? This could be perhaps the most important piece of information you've gotten from me all weekend. Ready? Write this down. There are four phases of a Quaalude high. Phase number one, the tingle phase. This is after you take about 12 minutes later, your fingertips start to tingle. It feels really fucking good. It's like ultimate euphoria, right? Thank God they're illegal. You can't find them anywhere. Okay? Second phase is called the slur phase. The slur phase means you start to speak and you start slurring your words, but you think you sound great. You're like, I love you. And everyone's like, what the fuck do you say? I love you. Along with the slur phase, you get something called phonitis. That means if you're in a house with a phone, you will call everyone you know and tell them that you love them. So my ex-wife, the Dutch, used to go around and unplug the phones in the house when I was high because I'd be calling people up, sounding like an idiot. And I was so I couldn't. I was done. Why the fucking phone's broken, all right? Phase three is called the drool phase. This is when you walk around with drool coming out of the side of your mouth, but you don't give a shit. And you think it's just great. You're like, why doesn't everyone want to drool? It feels really good. It's like being a baby again, right? And then the last phase is called unconsciousness. And this is the point when you cross over and you pass out. And my wife was, and by the Duchess and I were not together for many years, but she was a top-notch enabler. And what she would do is when she saw me entering in the unconsciousness phase, if we were out at a restaurant, it usually happened in a restaurant. And what she'd do is, as my head would start to bob, and she'd take the bread and she'd put it in front of me. So I hit bread and she'd make a bread pillow for me. So I'd fall asleep in French bread versus hitting the soup and drowning in a bowl of soup, which I had done once before. Those are the four phases of a Quaalude high. And here's where the problem starts. Problem starts, there's also a fifth phase that doesn't really happen that often. And it's called the movement phase. Okay? This is called the movement phase. And the movement phase only happens on certain occurrences. Typically when you mix Quaaludes with an upper, okay, because Quaaludes are a downer, so I mix them with an upper like a cocaine or something like that. You know, I was always mixing and matching, trying to be a really, you know, responsible drug addict, okay? And when you're in the movement phase is, it's the drug-induced equivalent of having ants in your pants. You can't sit still. You have to move. So here's how it started. So I had this yacht, 170-foot yacht, and I hated the fucking thing. Okay, it was expensive as hell, and it drove me crazy, and I almost felt obligated to go on the boat on every vacation because it was so expensive. I didn't want to go on a boat sometimes, but I had to go. Meanwhile, I had a crew of 12, and I had a captain who was as crazy as me, who flew the chopper and the plane. Okay, he was a total action junkie, but a great guy. I loved the guy. He was a great guy. What happened was, I said, you know what, we had this grand plan. Let's take the boat over to Europe. We'll sail it over to Europe, right? It's a motor yacht. And we'll charter it out to all the movie stars. You know, I had Tom Cruise chartering the boat, John Travolta, Dustin Hoffman, Cher. So it was over at the Cannes Film Festival that year, and Cher chartered the boat, and Dustin Hoffman was on there. Then we took the boat down to Rome, and the plan was that I was going to fly to Rome with my family and with my wife and three other couples, and we take the boat around Italian Riviera and the French Riviera, right? So the boat made its way down to Rome, and I had a private jet, a G2B back then, right? And I was sharing it with another person, so they already had the jet somewhere else. So here was what we did. We decided we'd fly commercial first class down to Italy, and then we'd fly private home. So we go to the airport, and I have my driver from George, okay, who didn't say a fucking word. That's what not. He's a fucking mute, the guy. He said three words the whole time, 5 years he drove for me, right? Okay? He had the whitest teeth like you've ever seen in your life, okay? A set of choppers on him, all right? So George drives us to the airport. He loads all our bags on. We get on the plane, and I start going into high gear, of course. I wasn't very concerned with customs back then, so we had, like, drugs in every pocket in this way now, right? And I'm getting high as a kite on the plane, and the Duchess is already pissed at me because she was always pissed at me, right? Understandably so, all right? We land in the airport, and she's already mad because I'm kind of drooling a little bit, but I'm like, you know, coming. And you, by the way, here's the thing about Lewds, though, is that you can come out of the, if you can go, you can go right from the drool phase to complete sobriety in like a second, and it wears off. It's a very short half-life, so you go back and forth. It's amazing. So you go from, like, being totally like a retard, and all of a sudden you're, like, totally fine again. You're like, what? What happened, right? Freak people out. At the tail end of when I, before I got sober, which is, it's 13 years ago, I got sober, right? But I used to go to meetings with bankers, right? And I'd be drooling in my bobbing. They didn't, because I had the money. They're like, yeah, great, John. No fucking problem. I'm like, what happened? Where am I, right? So anyway, so we land in Rome, okay? The bags come off the carousel, and George, the driver, forgot to put the Duchess's bags on the plane. So she had no luggage, and she was freaking out, okay? So I'm like, honey, no, it's fine. Remember that American Express commercial? We're going to go fucking buy all new clothes. And she's like, all right, that's not so terrible. So we go into Rome. I buy her $100,000 worth of new clothes with the American Express card, right? I was running up, the average bill was $500,000 a month. That, like, I could go charge $100,000. They wouldn't even call for my mother's maiden name. They just, anything got approved because they knew I was just nuts, right? So buy the Duchess all these new clothes. We go all our bags, right? And we get, you know, back into this van, which is like this kind of limo van. We're going to the harbor where the boat is, Porto Cervallarta. And as we go down the hill, the first person to notice something is this girl, Ophelia, my then wife's oldest friend. Ophelia's like, why are there, you know, where are the white caps in the harbor? And we all, like, turn our heads at once. And sure enough, like, there's, like, these white caps in the harbor. And everyone's like, oh, that's really weird. It looks weird. And as we get close, we realize it's not even white caps. It's waves. There's waves in the harbor, right? Which is very odd because usually harbors are calm, right? So anyway, at this point is when I realized that there was problems. Because I hadn't really focused in on what my state was, my emotional state, my physiological emotional state, but all of a sudden that awful foreboding feeling came to me that, Jesus, if it's rough, we're not going to make the crossing, because we were supposed to go immediately to Sardinia, which is 100 miles away from Rome. It's a straight shot, 100 miles, and that was the plan. We're going to get on the boat and go to Sardinia, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh my God, I was in the movement phase. And the thought of getting on the boat and having to sit still was like, I can't do it. It was an unbearable thought. When you're in the movement phase, you have to be moving around and going somewhere. You can't sit still, right? So I'm like getting nervous now, and I'm realizing there's a problem brewing, right? And as soon as we get off the boat, the Duchess comes, just runs off. She runs up to Captain Mark. She goes, you know, Captain Mark, can we make the crossings? Looks really rough. And he's like, well, it's kind of a storm kicked up, and I don't really know. You know, we could do it. And she's like, well, we're not going anywhere if Captain Mark says we can't go anywhere, you know? So I said, just go cut the fucking new tags off your clothes. Go downstairs, okay? So she goes downstairs, okay, with the girls follow her, right? So now it's me and my three buddies. It was four couples, okay? And there's a guy named Ross, who prided himself on being the brave outdoorsman type, right? And his wife, Bonnie, and who was a childhood friend of mine. And Ross was sort of like, you know, he was a decent guy and everything, but his greatest, you know, joy was torturing his wife and calling her an asshole, basically. You know, calling her stupid. He was very mean to his wife, but he's not a bad guy, okay? Bonnie was a great girl. Anyway, then there was Ophelia and Dave and my friend Rob, who was almost as crazy as me. Rob was like my partner in crime, meaning in drug crime. He was also doing addicted to lewds too, right, and everything else, right? So he was an action junkie too. So I said to Captain Mark, I said, listen, Captain Mark, can we make it? He's like, well, you know, we can make it. It's going to be rough. You know, we'll break a few plates maybe. Now, remember, this is a big ship, 170 feet. There's a living room, right, with plates, decorative plates and artwork and everything. You know, it's an $8, $9 million ship, right? So I'm like, well, can we make it? He goes, we can make it. I said, let's do it. So he's like, all right, we'll do it. And Rob's like, let's do it. And Ross is like, let's do it. And this guy, Dave Cherudini, the fourth, he's like, kind of like there's a friend, Ophelia's boyfriend. He's like, all right, let's do it. He was kind of like, you know, 50-50 on the whole thing. And we charge off. So I go upstairs to the top flybridge. Now, you know, a big yacht. And Steph, you can probably find the picture online and pop it up if you get the chance. It was a huge ship, so there's a flybridge. It's like 50 feet above the water. So I do my customary thing. As I go straight up, I drop three more Quaaludes. Okay? Now, one Quaalude could knock a Navy SEAL out for 8 hours. A 200-pound Navy SEAL. I was taking three and walking around the streets. Okay? Like werewolves of London. Okay? Basically, this is the wolf in Rome. All right? So I take three Quaaludes. I say to the stewardess, I said, I want you to give me one Bloody Mary every 7 minutes till I pass out. Then bring one every 6 minutes after I'm passed out. Okay? And I go up, I take the three ludes, and they start dissolving in my stomach sack, and I take a Bloody Mary, right, and I start sipping it, and next thing you know, I'm out like a light, and I pass out. I go right to unconsciousness, which is my preferred state there because I wanted to relax a bit because I don't sleep well, okay? All right? So anyway, I guess a couple of hours pass, and then I wake up to the feeling of sea spray. Well, like rain, I open my eyes. Like, you're always, one thing about being on losers, you wake up and you open your eyes and you're not really sure where you are a lot. You wake up in strange places, right? Sometimes in police cells, okay? So I wake up, I feel some drops, all right? And I look up at the sky, it's not like raining, and all of a sudden, you know, the boat starts tipping over, and a fucking giant wall of water comes over, and boom, crashes on top of me. I go flying over. The Bloody Marys go flying, and I'm still like, hell, I'm just waking up from this whole thing. I'm like, what the fuck? And I look over the side of the yacht, and it's 25-foot waves. And we're in the middle of this massive storm. When we left, it was like 8-foot waves. It's 25-foot waves. You can't imagine 25-foot waves. They're also thick. It's not just they're high and thin, they're fucking huge, right? And my boat is being tossed about like a thimble in the ocean, all right? And I'm like freaking out. I look back. Now, behind my boat, we towed. I love scuba diving. I had a 42-foot dive boat called the Chandler, my daughter's name, the Chandler, right? And it was like on two thick dock ropes. It was like water skiing behind my yacht. And I'm looking behind and I'm watching the Chandler disappear and reappear in the peaks and troughs of these enormous waves. Can't imagine, right? So I thought, shit, I got to get downstairs. I'm still confused. So I crawl downstairs, getting knocked around. The waves are crashing on me. I go down the flybridge leads to the flight deck where the helicopter tied down in the seaplane, right? I make my way past the flight deck to the main salon. I walk and I open the door. I'm on my knees and I open it. And it's fucking chaos. Things are flying around. Decorative plates are now like frisbees, all right? Statues are torn over. And there's my wife and the six guests huddled around in a circle, tied to each other. A rope tie. That's really fucking smart, all right? And tied a rope to each other. All right? And the boat's getting absolutely trashed, okay? So I walk in. I'm on my knees, and I walk over. Nadine, the Duchess, sees me. So she crawls over, and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, what's going on? You're fucking crazy. We're in a storm. You're going to get us killed. I can't. And she's freaking out with his big blue eyes, okay? She's freaking out on me, right? Meanwhile, Ross, the brave outdoorsman, is vomiting profusely from seasickness. So he's like, get me off the boat. Like, seasickness is the worst thing of all, right? My friend Rob is loving it. He's like, isn't this fucking great? So the Duchess, meanwhile, right? The Duchess, so she's like a warrior, though, because she's married to me. She has to be, right? So she's like, well, let's go see Captain Mark upstairs. I'm like, good idea. Let's go. So we're crawling because you can't even walk. I mean, there's water coming in through the back. We're getting tossed about this way and that way. You're rolling on the floor. You can't imagine how rough it was. So we start making our way to the bridge. And as we do, we pass the bar. I had a bar there, right? And we look up. And I don't know, got inspiration to take a shot of tequila, right? So I look, so of course, but I ask permission. Now I'm like in the doghouse with my wife at this point. I said, is it okay if I take a shot of tequila? So she's like, yeah, all right, go ahead. So I go grab the thing. I go, can it? She takes one. Rob takes it and throws it against the wall and just smashes the bottle. I'm like, why'd you do that? He goes, I always wanted to do something like that. So we make our way up to the main bridge. We make our way up to the main bridge, okay? And it's freaking chaos, okay? The captain's is sitting there behind the wheel. The water's smashing against the front windshield of the boat, okay? These little wipers are doing nothing, going back and forth. You can't even match, right? And we're like, he's trying to time this. He's gunning the throttle forward to try to time the waves because we're getting buried. There's three stewardesses on a bench crying, hysterical crying there. The mates are holding on for dear life. I have engineers downstairs trying to bail. The bilge pump's going. The bailouts are flooding, okay? And I'm like, what happened? What's going on? And meanwhile, this computer's spitting out like the old-fashioned facts of swirling things, showing a low-pressure system, right? The radio's crackling away, and the captain's like, it's only getting worse. It's a freak storm pop-up. It's a force 8 gale, okay? It's like just short of a hurricane, basically. And it's a freak storm. He goes, yeah, this shit happens in the Adriatic. I'm like, now you fucking tell me? So we're there for like 15 minutes. We're getting banged around. And to me, there was only one logical thing to say. I turned to Rob and said, do you have the Coke? He's like, right here. I said, let's go do some hits. We go in the bathroom. The Dutch is like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? We take a couple of blasts of Coke. We go back now into the thing. We're sitting there hanging on. We're trying to, you know, getting your sea legs, right? And all of a sudden, for like 40 minutes of this, the captain says, fuck, rogue wave. We're like, what's a rogue wave? We look around. We're like, all at once, rogue wave, and this 60-foot wall of water comes at us. So the captain guns the throttle forward. We start rising up the face like the perfect storm, like the movie of the rogue. We're going up and up, and I said, we're not going to make it. All of a sudden, crash down on the fucking boat, this 170-foot boat. It flips over. There's a 360 overside. We pop back up like half on our side, okay? And it was like lights out for a second. It goes dark, right? And then all of a sudden, we like get our bearings. We stand back up. He's like, is everyone okay? We're like, yeah, yeah, we think we're okay. He goes, fuck, one engine's out. We lost our left engine, right? So he's trying now to move it with one engine. All of a sudden, the engineer comes running up. He goes, the front porthole just gave way. We're going down by the head. I'm like, fucking yes, the boat's fucking sinking. I hate this fucking ship. Lloyd's of London. I had an $8 million insurance policy on the boat, and they couldn't even say I tried to sink it. Okay? Because who would be foolish enough to take their boat out into a freaking hurricane, right? Captain picks up the thing. Mayday, mayday. You know, the yacht Nadine, 80 miles off, blah, blah, gives them the coordinates, right? So this is now, we're holding on for dear life. We're barely staying afloat. And what happens when you're on the sea and you're in trouble is as soon as you call mayday, every other ship in the area, by the law of the sea, has to come try to help you. Next thing I know, there's a huge oil tanker comes in front. Other tankers, they box us in to try to break the force of the waves. That's how it was. So we're boxed in by these yachts. We're barely, and we're sinking. We're on the process of sinking. You still have one engine. He goes, okay, good news. The Coast Guard is sending out a helicopter. They're going to come rescue us. I'm like, oh, fucking thank God. This is great, right? So now I said, can we fly the helicopter off? Now, I could fly a helicopter, and so could the captain. He says, we can, but we could never land it again. Who are you going to take? So you can't go. I'm like, oh, it's my, see you later, buddies. I'm going, come on, Nadine, we're going. Get out, right? So we couldn't fly the helicopter off, right? So they send out the Coast Guard helicopter, some big, you know, orange helicopter comes out after like 40 minutes, and they try to lower down this basket, okay? And the plan was we're going to climb into this basket one by one. They're lowering the basket. It's swinging 100 feet this way, 100 feet. It's fucking 70-mile-an-hour winds. And after like 15 minutes, I'm like, this is not going to freaking work. No way, right? Finally, after an hour, they were trying to lower. They couldn't lower the basket. And it's a lot harder than in the movies, okay? So finally, the captain gets a call and goes, they ran out of gas. They got to leave. I'm like, they're fucking leaving us here? Fucking Italian bastards, okay? The Germans could have figured it out, I figured, right? They're so organized, right? You freaking Italians, they blew it, okay? So anyway, he's like, okay, new plan. We have to go for the life rafts. I'm like, you're shitting me. The little red, you mean the orange? He goes, yeah, the orange ones. I'm like, Mark, it's like now it's like 40-foot waves. I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. He's like, we got to do it. We're going down. I said, all right, listen to the captain. We all go to the back of the boat. Okay, and we get prepared. They take the first and they inflate it. He puts it in the water, washed away in 2 seconds. I'm like, you got a fucking plan B, Mark? He goes, yeah, let's go back up to the flybridge. So we go back up now to the deck, right? Okay, he calls up, he's on the phone with you on the radio with the Italians, right? He goes, good news. He goes, all right, they're sending out the Navy SEALs for us, the Italian Navy Special Forces. They have a battleship on the way. They're sending out the commandos to come rescue us. I'm like, okay, this is getting interesting now, right? He goes, we got to go back up now, wait at the top. So we're waiting up at the top. Then he comes up to me, he goes, you're not going to believe this. I'm like, what? He goes, we got to push the helicopter over the side of the boat to make room for them to land. They want to land a Navy SEAL on the boat. They're going to lower a guy down. I'm like, you really? He goes, yeah. He goes, let's fucking do it. So we actually get up to the top. We untether the helicopter. Okay, so now it's just sitting there. The helicopter's sitting there, right? We wait for when we first take out the video camera. We all get there. Hey, Jordan and Mark on the yacht, Nadine. We're fucking assholes for going out to a storm. Now we got to push our button to the end. Isn't that great, right? So we all get there. One, two, three. We push it. Wait for a wave. We lean to the left. Push the thing. And I actually watched my helicopter like explode in sparks into the room. We watch it disappear into the murky depths of the Adriatic Sea, right? Then he says to us, he goes, okay. He goes, you can only take what you can carry. No luggage. I'm like, fuck, I just bought my wife $100,000 worth of clothes. I'm like, that kind of sucks, right? Now those are going down. I'm like, all right, no problem. So he goes, you can only take what you can carry. Now understand, I had about $250,000 of cash on the boat, tons of jewelry, other valuables, passports, right? What do you think I was saying to Rob? I said, you got the drugs? He says, no, I thought you had them. I'm like, Rob, I thought you, he goes, I said, they're in my stateroom, go get him. He goes, all right, I'll go get him. Nice to be the owner. I sent my friend to get the drugs, right? So he goes down to get the Quaaludes, okay? He comes back a minute later. He goes, the room is flooded. I can't go down there. He goes, it's like up to my waist. I'm like, Rob, you a pussy? Just go get the fucking drugs. He's like, you're right. What was I thinking, okay? You have to love Rob, right? So I go downstairs, all right, and I'm waiting for like a few minutes. He doesn't come back. So I go and follow him, and he's on the main floor in his pants and his ankles. He's pissing on my carpet. I'm like, Rob, why are you peeing on my carpet? He goes, I always wanted to do something like that. Hand to God, true. I'm like, okay, will you get the fucking Quaaludes, please? He goes, I will. He starts walking downstairs. I'm waiting there for like 30 seconds. He comes back and goes, I can't get him. The water is electrified. There's a short circuit. I got shocked. I look at him. I said, soldier, you can do it. He goes, you're right. What was I thinking? All right. Takes off his shoes. He goes down there, zzz, through the thing. He comes back with a bag of ludes, third degree burns in his feet, and his hair standing up like on him. So we go up to the top, right? Now we're all waiting up there. We got our ludes, right? They start lowering. All of a sudden, this double-bladed giant Chinook helicopter painted military green comes thundering out of the horizon towards the boat, right? It hovers over. It's this gigantic helicopter. The door slides open, and out pops a Navy SEAL. He jumps out in full regalia, frogman regalia, with like the whole thing, the hood, the mask, the whole thing, a backpack, right? And dangling from his leg is a spear gun, all right? They start lowering the guy down. When he's like 40 feet over the boat, he goes, and he harpoons the deck. And he rappels down, and he sets an anchor on the boat, okay? So now it gets interesting. Here's, you know, you never think of this stuff, but there's an orderly exit from a sinking ship. And the way it works is this. So women and children first, and then, you know, men second, right? But it's not really like that because there were no children. And there's also different classes of people on the boat. I mean, the guests, the owner, and then there's the crew, right? So the way it worked was this. Owner's wife is first, and she's the mother of two, right? She's the only woman with two children. So Nadine, the Duchess, goes first, and then the women with children who have children go second, right? Then the female crew members go third, then the male guests go fourth, then the male crew goes fifth, and the captain goes last, right? So that's the order, and it does make perfect sense. And what made it even better is that Nadine had two children, and Bonnie, who was Ross's wife, right, had one child, and Ophelia didn't have any. So it really made sense, the whole thing. So the frogman lowers down. He grabs Nadine. She puts her in a harness, and they get rappelled up, and just like that, Nadine disappears into this gigantic helicopter. She waves out to us, and then the guy goes back down, the Navy SEAL. Now he grabs Bonnie, Ross's wife. Ross, the brave outdoorsman, right? And he grabs Bonnie's wife, Ross's wife, and Bonnie goes in the harness, and psh, they go up to the top. Now the frogman comes back down to grab Ophelia, right? The third woman on the boat. But all of a sudden, from behind me, Ross goes, I have to get off the ship. He knocks Ophelia over, and he goes running. He takes a flying leap at the bed, and he wraps his legs and all like a baby around the Navy SEAL. God. So I turn to Rob. I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever. For the rest of his life, we're never going to fucking let him live this down, right? Takes Ross away. Anyway, they get one by one. We all go off the boat, okay? And Captain goes down with the ship. The captain goes down and he gets plucked out of the water by a passing boat, right? And they land us on some Italian battleship, the St. George, right? And the great thing about being rescued by Italians is the first thing they do is they make you drink wine and eat prosciutto and melon, right? So they break out the wine, all right? I took that as a sign to take more lose. I figured I could only do my job, right? So I dropped three more Quaaludes now, and like I said, we're dancing on the deck with the Italian Navy, right? All of a sudden, the Ludes get the best of me again, and I start passing out, and the captain's like, what the fuck happened to you, right? And they start carrying me to the infirmary, okay? So now as I'm being carried to the infirmary, okay, the captain's like saying to me in broken English, we're told we could take you wherever you want to go, like, you know, because they want, the Italian government want to make a big deal of rescuing the stupid American banker who is dumb enough to go into the storm. So it was like a big public relations coup. If you look it up online, there's all these articles still online from back in the day of the sinking of the yacht, right? So he goes, you can, you know, go to Rome, we can take you to Sardinia, because I recommend you go to this hotel, Cala di Volpe. And I always had wanted to go to Cala di Volpe because it's the only hotel that's been in two James Bond movies, and I love James Bond. So I said, on some level, if I go there, I'm like James Bond. I said, take me to Sardinia, right? I pass out, all right? I wake up in Sardinia, all right? We get off the hotel, we get off the boat. Next day, Lloyd's of London is down there, writes me an $8 million check. No problem, okay? No one has clothes. So I have to buy everybody clothes. The Duchess is on round two now. We stay in the hotel. Okay, for 10 days, okay? No one dips their foot in the water even in 10 days. We're like, no water, right? So now my private jet was in France, was in Orly Airport in France, and it was going to fly to meet us the next morning. And I bought everyone clothes and everyone watches. I was so happy to get rid of this boat. It was a fucking albatross, a floating albatross around my neck, right? So I said, hey, I got this great idea. I said, instead of paying customs and all the stuff we bought, why don't we just box it all up and ship it back DHL? This way we can just, we're getting on our private jet tomorrow morning. We need just underwear and a toothbrush. We're done. Everyone's like, oh, good idea. So we all box our stuff up. So we have, all our clothes are gone. And that's that. Next morning, we wake up. I check out of the hotel. Bill, $700,000 for 10 days in Sardinia. Not too bad. Okay? A little hickey there. Okay? American Express loved me, all right? We get to the airport. Now, the thing about a private jet is that it's always there and waits for you, right? It's, you get there first and just wait for it, right? Get to the airport, my jet's not there. I'm like, what the fuck is going on now? And the worst part was the drugs were gone. So there's no reason to be in Italy anymore, okay? And my jet is not there, and I'm getting really pissed off, right? So pacing around after like an hour, and I'm just waiting for my plane. All of a sudden, believe not, a little midget comes scampering up to me, an Italian midget, okay? And he comes scampering. He goes like, Mr. Belfort? I'm like, yeah? I like the guy because he's shorter than me, right? I'm like, he says, plane crash. I'm like, what? He goes, a plane crash. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Within 10 days, I lost my yacht and my plane. Okay, the plane was taking off out of Orly Airport. Seagulls flew in the engine. Down went the plane. Okay, the pilots lived. Okay, thank God. But we're stuck again. I'm so pissed. No one speaks English in Sardinia. I'm like, I gotta get the fuck out of this country. I don't care. I gotta where they speak English. I just can't take it anymore. Right? We tried to get a flight, to home, but we couldn't get to Rome. It was possible. So let's just go to England. I was doing a lot of business in England. Okay. We catch a charter flight to England. We end up in the wrong airport in Gatwick. So it's 4.5 hours like outside of London. I have to take the tube to London. Now, I was doing a lot of business in London. I always stayed at the Dorchester Hotel, great hotel, right? I said, let's just go there. There'll be rooms where they'll take care of us. So we get in one of those black cabs, right? And we were crammed into this, you know, big black taxi, right? And as we get closer to Hyde Park, which is their central park there, right? It's insanely crowded. Like wall-to-wall people. I'm like, wow, is it Wimbledon? What's going on, right? Insanely get closer, you can't even fucking move. So I say to the kid, I said, excuse me, what's going on? So he goes, oh, governor. He calls me governor. I don't know what the fuck that means, right? He goes, oh, governor. He goes, we're having our Woodstock celebration. There's 700,000 people in Hyde Park. I hope you have a hotel reservation. I'm like, don't fucking even tell me this. It was Eric Clapton, Alanis Morissette, and The Who, among others, were playing in Hyde Park, and every hotel room in London was booked solid, okay? For the first time since World War II, basically. We go there, right? I finally, I say to the guy, listen, you know, okay, Mr. Belfort was so sorry, we don't have one room. He goes, but please, go into the lounge, we'll give you some tea and crumpets. I'm like, tea and fucking crumpets? Do you understand what I've been through, right? Anyway, so we're there. Finally, they found us a room in another hotel. It was in the Ritz, and it was overlooking Hyde Park. It was either Ritz-Carlton, I think it was Ritz-Carlton, right? And we get in the room, the presidential suite, and we're watching the concert from out of our window.